All right. Well, this morning, we're going to look at John chapter 1. If you go ahead and turn to John chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 43. As we go there this morning, I want to share with you from Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says that if we are to live a life that is pleasing to God, if we're to live a life that God wants us to experience, that we have to walk by faith. We have to live a life believing what He says. That's essential to our life, to knowing the Lord and walking with Him, is that we would walk by faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek Him." So what does it mean, though? What does it mean to believe in God? Anybody want to throw out an answer for that? What's it mean to believe in God? There's a lot of great answers, so yours is probably one of them. What do you got?
Trust.
Trust. Amen. That's my favorite one-word answer. Yeah, trust.
Love.
To love? That's a great answer, too. To believe, comfort, to walk by faith, relationship, man. Amen. Amen. That's great. It means to really, among those things, it means to believe Him, right? It means to take Him at His word, that whatever He says, especially about Himself, that we just lay hold of that and it's foundational for us. It's like if this is what the Word of God says about Jesus, then that's so, you know, and I just stand upon that, and it doesn't matter what I think or what anybody else thinks, that I believe what God says, and I live my life according to that, aligned with what He says. Because I believe that Jesus is who the Word says He is, when He makes a command, I want to obey the command. When He makes a promise, I need to believe the promise. You know, when He gives some nudging in my life in some way with His Word, I need to follow that and cooperate. When He says, this is why you're in this world, to know Me and to make Me known to other people and to take the gospel to those who don't, I want to do that. I want to take Him at His word, that everything that He says matters. And that's what believing and trusting, for me, that's part of the answer anyway. Today is our second message in our Easter series that we've titled, That All Might Believe. That All Might Believe. And I've titled the sermon today, The Blessings of Believing in Jesus. Because there are amazing rewards, there are amazing blessings that come with that decision of the will that, you know what, no matter what Jesus says, He is trustworthy. And that's, for me, that's rock solid. My life's going to be built upon that. And when you do that, there are blessings that come into your life that are part of that. And we're going to look at some of these. Some of these are going to be very familiar, but we'll just cover five today. I want to give you a heads up. We're going to really land on the first one for a while. That's where our main text is going to be, on the first one, and then we're just going to fly through the other four, okay? So I don't want you to get scared. We're going to get towards the end of the first one. You're going to be like, we are here way past lunch today, and that's not going to happen. So we're just flying around the airport, you know? We're just, I don't know, whatever that's called. When they circle, what is it?
Hovering.
We're hovering. Yeah, we're just circling the airport, and then, yeah, we're just going to land after the first one and get out and grab some food in the I don't know. Anyway. Our first thing today, our first reward today for believing in Jesus. Through believing in Jesus, we know God. Through believing in Jesus, we know God. If you have a bulletin, there's an insert in there you can use if you want to fill this out. There's also the prayer list. You need to make sure you have that. Through believing in Jesus, we know God. And to know God personally, to know God beyond, you know, God helps all of us. The Bible says that those who don't believe are without excuse for a couple reasons. One is general revelation, right? That through the creation, God has made it really clear that He exists. And then even our consciences are another proof. You know, we know. We can suppress that. We can sear that. We can deaden it, try to stomp on it and kill it, throw it in the closet. But God gave us a conscience for a reason. And we know right and wrong. At least we should. I think the more that we choose to believe God about that, the more that grows, and we hear that more clearly. But that's general revelation. God wants us to know Him beyond that, to know Him personally in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at that here in John 1 this morning. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." In John's Gospel, in chapter 1, it opens with a declaration that Jesus Christ is the Word, that He's the living Word, and that He has come to earth as the living Word. So what do we use our words for? At a like foundational level, what's communication for? It's to make ourselves known, right? To know and to be known. We communicate to share our ideas, to share our hearts. And so Jesus is the very expression of God, the revelation of God, the communication from God, the living Word. He's come to speak to us about righteousness, about love, about God's power and His purposes. In the book of Hebrews, the writer declares the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. Jesus is God's final, ultimate revelation of who He is. So this morning we're going to focus on verses 50 and 51. Again, verse 50 here in John 1. Jesus said, "You believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." Jesus is basically saying, you believe based on something so simple. I wasn't there when you were under the fig tree, but I saw you. Even though I wasn't there, I saw you. And based on that simple thing, you believe in me. But I want you to stick around and follow me because you're going to see so much more than that, so much greater than that. What are some of the greater things that Nathanael's going to see? Anybody? What are the apostles going to see? Healings. Healing. They're going to see healings. What else?
Miracles.
Dead raised again.
The dead raised. Amen. What else?
Casting out of demons.
Casting out of demons. Amen. What else?
Healings.
Walk on water, right? Power over everything in the spiritual realm, power over everything in the physical realm, power and authority over all the creation that He's made, and His resurrection. They're going to see His resurrection, and they're going to see Him transformed. They're going to see His glorious body. They're going to see Him ascend, and they're going to hear a promise that He's coming back. You're going to see greater things. And the purpose of them seeing greater things is that they would know Jesus for who He is and that they would make Him known, including to us, that they would write the Scriptures, that they would preach the gospel everywhere, that people would know that Jesus is the Christ, the greater things. And then verse 51, and I think here when Jesus shares this, He probably really floors Nathanael and the other apostles who were there. He then added, "Very truly I tell you," and in the Greek here it changes, because up until this point he's having a conversation with Nathanael, and it's singular, but at this point he says, "All y'all, I'm telling you guys, the apostles who were there, all of you, I'm telling you that you are going to see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Does that sound familiar at all to something, another passage in the Old Testament? Yeah, in Genesis 28. Jacob's ladder, the dream. Yeah, Jacob is in this place and he has this dream, and there's a ladder that's going from earth to heaven and the Lord above that and the angels ascending and descending. And Jesus says, you're going to see those angels ascending and descending on me. On me. Saying, you're going to be a witness to something. So let's look at that. Let's look at Genesis 28 if you turn in your Bibles. Genesis 28, starting in verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you were lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. They'll be numerous. And you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and the south. All people on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promise you. A little later, there in verse 19, it says that Jacob called this place Bethel, which means house of God or dwelling place of God. I think to really understand what's going on there in John 1, to understand what Jesus is saying to those apostles, you have to understand what's going on here in Genesis 28 at Bethel, this dream. In this dream, Jacob sees this ladder. And this ladder goes from earth to heaven, and he sees the angels of God ascending and descending, and he recognizes something. Jacob recognizes something. He recognizes God is here. God is in this place. There is a connection point here, an overlap of heaven and earth, of divine and human. And Jesus says, that's me. That overlap between heaven and earth, that overlap between divine and human, that way for you to know God and for God to reveal himself and communicate with you is the Son, is through Jesus Christ. He's saying, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Son of Man. I'm the revelation. I'm the way for you. It is through believing in Jesus. It's through knowing him and loving him and obeying him and trusting in him and walking with him and surrendering to him and worshiping him and seeking him. It's through knowing Jesus that we know God as we trust in him. Second thing to recognize today, through believing in Jesus, we have acceptance. Through believing in Jesus, we have acceptance. Before we believe in Jesus, before we trust in him, we have condemnation that we deserve for our sins. But that is removed in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3, if you turn to John 3 for a minute, verse 17. John 3, 17 and 18. We'll skip verse 16. You all know that already. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. I think before I trusted in Jesus, and maybe this is a lot of non-believers, maybe this is a lot of our family members and friends, we think, man, if I come to Jesus, if I even approach or seek him, if I start getting involved in church attendance or reading the Bible, if I get into that world that you guys are operating in, he's going to strike me down, man. That hammer's going to be lowered, and I'm going to, because I deserve it, right? I'm a sinner, and I want to keep Jesus at arm's length. Because we think what's waiting for us is condemnation, but according to the Word of God, that's not waiting for anyone who puts their trust in Jesus, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter what anybody thinks of them. If they will come to Jesus and trust in Jesus, what's waiting is mercy and grace and acceptance. Acceptance of that individual, no matter who they are. You know, the Bible says God takes no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. He doesn't want anybody separated from Him. He loves everybody, but the consequences of our sin, that's what it brought, was that separation. But Jesus is the provision to make a way for all of that condemnation to be removed and for us to have acceptance. Jesus is more eager to accept and show mercy to the worst of sinners than He is to do anything else. I mean, He longs to forgive. He longs to save even more than we want to see loved ones who don't know Him yet come to Him. Jesus desires that. So we can pray that and know that that is His will, that they would come and be accepted and forgiven and loved. Our third thing to recognize today, our third blessing, through believing in Jesus, we escape spiritual death. Through believing in Jesus, we escape spiritual death. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." What's a wage? What's a wage? Anybody? What's that?
What you've worked for.
What you've worked for, right. What you've earned. Yeah, the Bible says that we are all born sinners, right? That we're born sinners, we're sin addicts, and so we sin because of that. And the wage, what we earn because of that, is death. Well, at the core of what death means is separation. And the Bible speaks of two kinds of death. Separation from body, right? Which is for all of us. We're not going to stay in these flesh suits forever. But the more important separation, the one that really matters, is the eternal one, and that's separation spiritually. And so the Bible tells us that because of our sin, we have earned separation, not just from our body, but from the source of life, from God Himself. Our spirit separated from His spirit, but the gift of God is eternal life. It is not earned. It is a gift from God. And we can experience this escape that, you know, until we come to Jesus and receive that grace and that mercy in Him and know Him, that's what's waiting, is separation forever from God. But nobody has to experience that. Every person can come to Him and we can leave that behind and escape that death forever. Through believing in Jesus, we have life. Through believing in Jesus, we have real spiritual life. I think back to the Garden of Eden and how blessed Adam and Eve were to walk in the garden with God, to enjoy the creation intimately with Him that way. How beautiful. And then to lose that. To lose that. It's heartbreaking. Heartbreaking to God and to us. But God has provided a ladder. He's provided a way. Last week in the message, we talked about in the Gospel of John, at the conclusion of the Gospel of John, in chapter 20, verse 31, it's back here on the back wall, that John said, this gospel message, what we have recorded for you, what we have been witnesses to and are passing along to you, it's so that you may believe. And that in believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you might have life in His name. That's God's will. That's His desire, is to bless humanity with that. That's why Jesus came. Through believing in Jesus, we have life, real life, abundant life, eternal life. Earlier in John chapter 1 and verses 11 and 12, God's word says He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, To all who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Through believing in Jesus, we become children of God. Not only forgiven sinners, not only released from that judgment and condemnation, not only accepted, not only with this guarantee of life, but this guarantee of eternal relationship. That forever, not only does God say, all right, you're kind of a loser, but since you're coming in with Jesus, I'll let you in. You know, that may be kind of the reality. That's how I feel sometimes. But that's not what God sees. He looks at us and he says, there's my son Jesus, and wow, am I crazy about him. And there's my blood, who's made provision for James.
Amen.
And I'm crazy about him too.
Amen.
And he's crazy about you and you and you. And he says, you are not just somebody that by the skin of your teeth I'm letting into my heaven. I love you. You're my child. I am committed to you. I'm crazy about you. And he's our shepherd. He is our father. And everything he wants for us is good. Through believing in Jesus, we become children of God. And yet there are people who rob themselves of that invitation, that just resist the gospel, resist Jesus. It makes me sad sometimes. I hear people say, or I've even heard songs by artists that sing, we're all God's children. And I hate to tell you, you know, you got to rain on your day, but that's not true. That's not true. We're all God's creation, right? He has a right to all of us. He has authority over all of us because we are all his creation. But Jesus was speaking to some Pharisees, and he said, you are of your father, the devil. We're not all God's children. But that's not what God wants. God wants us as his children. And we become his children by receiving a gift, a ladder, by trusting in Jesus. When you do that, when you put your faith in him, there's this gift of grace, this undeserved favor of God that we receive through faith. And it looks like honesty. It looks like agreeing with what God says. It looks like pausing and being still and letting God, his spirit, speak to your spirit and just getting real for a minute with God. Saying, God, I need to acknowledge that I've not been following you. I've got to acknowledge, Lord, that I've been trying to lead my own life and it does not work well. And when you get real with God in that way, he's like, okay, that's a little bit of light. Let me give you some more light. And he gives you the ability to put your trust in him, to receive that cleansing, to accept for that grace, and he is faithful to give it. It comes through believing in Jesus, through the Son of God. Excuse me. I'm just going to ask you straight up, have you decided to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Yeah, I'm not condemning you if you haven't. The Bible says in Romans 5 that being justified through faith, that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. If you are here today or you're watching online today, and just being honest with yourself for a minute, you would confess, I have no idea what that peace is. And we all have unsettled days. We all have times of chaos. But I mean, just if you've never experienced that peace, you can have that today. You can have that today by trusting in Jesus and come to know that he is exactly who he says he is. And all those blessings that he has for everybody who trusts in him, you can have that today. And for every day, for the rest of your life. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, God, you know our hearts. Those who walk with you and those who don't, Lord, you know all of our hearts. And we know, Lord, that you have made the way to you, God, through your Son. That heaven has come down to earth through Jesus. And our connection point to heaven is through him. Lord, thank you that you made it simple. That it's a simple message of trust, of childlike faith. That we would acknowledge that we are sinners. We would acknowledge that we need saved. And that you have provided a Savior in your Son, God. You have made it so simple, but it's hard, Lord. It's hard to get honest with ourselves. It's hard to get honest with you. So I pray, Lord, draw our hearts close to you in your power, in your Spirit, God. Through your word, draw hearts close to you that can't on their own draw close. Thank you, Lord, that that relationship with you, it is not based on human relationships. It's not based upon grandma and grandpa and what they did with you or brother or sister or anybody else or mom or dad, that it's personal. And thank you, Lord, that it's for everybody. You want everybody to know you as a dear Heavenly Father, as the shepherd and savior of their soul. And it doesn't matter how much money somebody makes. It doesn't matter how much sin they've worked into their life so far. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks of them, what names people call them behind their back. It doesn't matter what their education is. It doesn't matter what the color of their skin is. It doesn't matter what language they speak. That you are an awesome Savior. And that when you went to that cross, it was for the sins of the whole world, of all people who would trust in you. And so, Lord, we pray, we ask for Jesus that gift right now of saving faith. Draw people to your goodness, Jesus. And Lord, for the rest of us, we've prayed it a couple of times this morning, and I just felt so led to pray this again this morning. Help us to all fix our eyes upon you. You're so worthy of that, Jesus. Not only for our good, Jesus, we know it's radically good for us. But help us to fix our lives and our hearts and our minds upon you, because you deserve it, because you are awesome. And Lord, we know that as we do that, you're going to help us to see everything else through your eyes. All those problems that seem insurmountable, decreasing in the light of your glory. All those sins that seem so big, covered in your grace. Lord, we know your word says that in you all of your promises, Lord Jesus, are yes. Help us to believe that too. That we can stand upon all of your promises, that we can claim those, that we can believe those today as rock solid foundational truth, that nothing can change. Help us to believe who you are and what you can do in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask.